why we need to pay close attention to one of the most boring business stories of the year. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. With support from the Obama administration, lawmakers in Congress have introduced a bill to streamline approval of a sweeping trade treaty. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is advertised as liberalizing trade with the U.S. and Canada, Mexico, and Chile on this side of the ocean, and Japan, Australia, Malaysia, New Zealand, and I already said Australia on the others. And also, let's not forget Singapore, Vietnam, and Brunei. Trans-Pacific negotiations have been proceeding in secret. The agreement to move forward with fast-track authority was accomplished with some Republican support, but there is skepticism, especially among Democrats. Jim Rollo is a professor at the University of Sussex in Britain, who specializes in international trade. Professor, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Fast-track authority in the U.S. Congress does what, Professor? Some argue it's about, what, lending credibility to the U.S. position?
Oh, I think that is absolutely the key point. The American negotiators have been in some trouble, I think, with these whole raft of agreements because the people across the table are not sure that they can really deliver when they get back to Washington.
All right, so there's this authority in the U.S., it looks like, but what about the other countries involved in the negotiations? To what extent could the U.S. be assured that deals worked out would be adopted in the other countries?
Well, that's a really important point. The country that most people are interested in this context is Japan, where agriculture in particular is a very difficult political issue for the ruling party. And they've been working hard to get their supporters stacked up properly. But nonetheless, there is some doubt about whether the Japanese could absolutely deliver in the way that America wants.
I wanted to ask you, the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement would cover a vast landscape of commerce. I mean, just for starters, intellectual property, workers' rights or lack thereof, the environment. Since it affects so many stakeholders, Professor, do you think the process could be more transparent? I mean, you remember, it took a leak from those renegades over at WikiLeaks to give us our sharpest sense of what's going on.
This agreement has been held closer than almost any trade negotiation that I can remember. And that's down to partly to the sheer complexity of the whole thing. But I think it's deliberately because of, frankly, the degree of controversy around a number of these issues.
Jim Rollo, professor at the University of Sussex, who focuses on international trade. Professor, thank you for this.
My pleasure.
Now let's check the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.4%. Index futures for the U.S. do not bode well for share prices once formal trading begins. We have the S&P future down 0.8%, the NASDAQ future down 1.1%, and the Dow future is down 0.9%. That's like the Dow falling about 160 points, so we'll keep an eye on it. The promise of America has always been the chance to move up, regardless of where you come from. While statistics show that too often the circumstances of parents dictate the latter circumstances of their children, the goal of economic mobility remains a crucial one. Economists from Harvard and UC Berkeley have been researching this, and one of the things that stands out as really helpful for mobility is called social capital. Chrissy Clark from our Wealth and Poverty Desk takes a look at what this can look like in real life.
Kathleen Somerset Fields has something she tells herself when her hands start to sweat and the doubts crowd in.
Okay, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. That's what I will whisper to myself.
Kathleen learned this phrase almost a decade ago. The teacher of her GED class would say it to her when she was about to take on a challenge.
Go ahead, Kathleen. You'll be fine. And that's exactly how she says it. You'll be fine.
Well, you can judge for yourself if it's exactly how she says it.
You'll be fine. You can do this. You'll be fine.
That's Diane Brogan Adams, Kathleen's old teacher. When they first met, Kathleen's mother was battling drug addiction, and Kathleen was already a mother herself.
You get people that look at you and, you know, oh, she's only 16 with two kids. Oh, my gosh, she's a troublemaker.
But she says her teacher, Diane, was different.
Well, she was welcoming.
Diane remembers their first meeting well, too.
Kathleen pulled up in a station wagon with wood trim and came in with these two children and very confident because I remember later after she had filled out paperwork and I saw exactly how old she was, I was kind of surprised.
Diane took a special interest in Kathleen. She'd call when Kathleen missed class.
And find out what's going on. Why am I not back?
Eventually, Kathleen did come back and graduated. Then they lost touch. Until several years later, when Kathleen was walking out of a parenting class she was taking at a community center. Turns out Diane, her old teacher, was now working at that center.
Seriously, I think God had me walking across that parking lot because he knew I needed guidance at that time. And honestly, she's been my guidance.
Kathleen had been working a series of low-paying jobs, nursing assistant, quality control at a bacon factory. Eventually, Diane offered her old student a job at the community center. Kathleen is now the assistant manager of a youth program there.
And Kathleen is like one of my children. She just adds a lot to my life.
The networks of support and community that Kathleen found when she met Diane long ago at that GED class, and that she passes on now to a new generation of kids at the youth program, they are key parts of what economists call social capital. And research shows that places with a lot of it have better rates of upward mobility for kids born into poverty. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
And General Electric this month signaled a sharp shift away from finance and back to its roots in manufacturing. Its quarterly profits are out just now, and its manufacturing business is making money. The results were better than expected, but showed a net loss of more than $13 billion. That's from the costs of extricating itself from its GE capital burdens. GE stock is now down 1% in pre-market trading. In Los Angeles today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. PM, American Public Media.